For artists, it's a bit painful because artists see more wealth than ordinary people, and it's also our history, so you just can demolish everything.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.
Today's guest is Ukrainian sculptor Julia Belaeva. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you, Johann.
Julia, this is our second try with the podcast, because the first one we did remote didn't work out because of Ukrainian electricity problems. So these are the problems you are dealing with in your routine, because the war is still going and constantly electricity shortages are happening. So it's great you're here in Berlin in your little presentation. And maybe we start with your practice and how you got into art. Like, when did you realize the possibility of becoming a sculptor, an artist?
My relationship with art started so early, like since I was 8 years old, I think. Almost all my childhood I visited art school. And then I entered to Kyiv Art University. It's called by name Mikhailo Boychuk. and I have degree of graphic designer. Mm-hmm. And with sculpture, so I start since 2016. Because I always search for new ways in my art. And after 6 years of education, I totally stopped with paintings and drawings, because it wasn't so interesting for me during the time and still now. And I go to 3D dimension, and I'm mostly new media artist than sculpture. Mm-hmm. So in my practice, I combine 3D modeling, 3D scanning. Like 3D scanning, I think it's close to photography. Mm-hmm. It's like new dimension photography, because mostly I work with real people. Mm-hmm. And I scan them. And the idea was to bring some human dimension to the 3D digital world. Mm-hmm. So almost in all my sculpture, you can see a real person, mm-hmm. models. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's interesting. So, because you combine sort of new media technology, at the same time you use very traditional material like porcelain, which has a very complex process in making and is also rooted in the Soviet language of sculpture, no?
My first sculpture I made in 2016, it was social meditation, and this work was totally based on Soviet heritage, porcelain. This boy with gun, he was like boy with butterfly, and it's some propagandistic Soviet themes about happy childhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
maybe to explain. So it's a sculpture of a boy, very romanticized sculpture. Is a boy holding a butterfly.
Yes.
And he's like looking at the butterfly, and you refer to that sculpture and created the boy holding a gun.
Yeah, with a gun.
And then it's a circle of boys.
Yeah.
They all hold the gun at each other, like a sort of stuck communication. And then there's a neon ring, and it's a bonfire of aggression somehow, no?
Yeah, because it was already started occupation of Ukraine in Donetsk and annexation of Crimea. And I felt this pressure in society, and during these years, nobody called it was war. And I show this dialogue between countries, but everyone has weapons in arsenal, so it's like a dialogue not possible. Yeah.
And the original sculpture, where is this coming from?
It's a Ukrainian porcelain factory, Polonne factory. Uh-huh. This factory doesn't exist anymore because we had almost 100 factories, porcelain factories around Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And now, only few survived. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, is there an author to the work, or is it not really clear where these motives come from?
Everyone in Ukraine, I think not only in Ukraine, we have this traditional porcelain small sculptures, mm-hmm. like in grandmother houses. Since childhood you have these sculptures in your home. And it's like small plastic, but it's almost have these huge forms, like Soviet forms, even in small piece. So I started to collect them. I have my own collection. And the most pop theme in the Soviet small porcelain figures, it was happy childhood, mm-hmm. like children in some different actions, like playing, like pioneers, yeah. like small sailors, and so on. It's like childhood, but with some propagandistic
exactly.
thematic.
Like a propagandic, what is it, like social realism of an transforming an atmosphere of utopian... Yeah. Union or something like this. But I think not only Ukraine, the whole Soviet culture region, no? And this you use as a vocabulary, and then you introduce new elements of your own interpretation. But it's interesting that you create it digitally, and then how do you get it into the porcelain sculpture?
Yeah, I thought about my first work. It was regarding the Soviet porcelain. Then I started, I started to work with people. I had big experience, like photographer. And then I opened for myself 3D scanning. First step, I scan people. I have my own library, because already I scan people, 7 years, and I can work with this library. When I have some idea, I know what I have in some poses, and I can easily manipulate with 3D objects. I work in Blender software and ZBrush software. And then I create a sculpture in 3D dimension. Then printing process. If I'm planning to cast in porcelain, it must be made molds, mm-hmm. and then I collaborate with Kyiv Porcelain Factory in Kyiv. And already 5 years mm-hmm. I collaborate with them.
How do they react to your interpretation?
They liked my work they still produce Soviet heritage.
Yeah.
It's like they have rights for that because it was made by Ukrainian artists who worked in Kyiv Porcelain Factory. Mm-hmm. So factory have rights and they still produce, and a lot of people collect these works. And they work only with two... contemporary artist, it's me, and another one.
And the Jeff Koons sculpture, that's from that library too, right?
Yeah.
The ballerina he did.
Yeah, ballerina, it's a work from Oksana Zhnikrup, by Oksana Zhnikrup, and it was made in Kyiv Porcelain Factory. And Jeff Koons about right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you're not only referencing to sort of the heritage of porcelain sculpture. You also created, for example, one, I think, very important work, which is in the museum in Linz, which you developed from a photograph from the big starvation of Stalin, no?
Yeah.
So maybe you can take us on that. So Stalin starved the Ukrainian population, and I think there's a very famous black and white photograph mm-hmm. of a girl, which you transformed into a sculpture?
Yeah, it's a work called Seeing is Believing, and it's about the Great Famine in Ukraine. My grandmother and her sister go through this period, and they survived. And my grandmother told me some stories about the time. And I remember when I was small, she told me, "Oh, you have legs like can." Very thin legs, like, yeah. Then when I grow up, I understood it's this term, like very thin legs, go through from this Holodomor times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this work also regarding to Soviet heritage, because it's like opposite of happy childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in Soviet times, wasn't possible to create some works about these times.
Because forbidden.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because about Holodomor. And mostly it was works also in porcelain, like Stalin sitting with kids and he hanging happy kids and so on. And it's like opposition,
yeah.
Like some kind of truth. And when I saw this photographer of... photography of Alexander Winnenberg. It's an Austrian engineer, and he visited Kharkiv during 1933.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it was a great famine in Ukraine, and he made some photographs on what he saw on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl. she included to his album. It's very teeny, small album of this photographs, like family album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these girls like represent for me what my grandmother go through. And yeah, I decided to create like a new dimension of this photography. Like and called Seeing is Believing. When you see, you start believe, because Russians still
denied
mm-hmm. this fact. But like we were can see a photo document and sculpture and to go around sculpture, so
to create a physical presence.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But I think it's interesting that you sort of pick up on these traumatic cultural. Or collective memories and trauma, but then you still create beautiful, desirable objects in that white gold material. But that's a contradiction, no? You purposely create objects of desire with all that sinister context?
Yeah, I think my roots go for like beauty and terror,
yeah.
You know, and I tried to find some beauty in horrible things.
Yeah. And this sculpture here, which is a self-portrait, right?
Yeah, it's a self-portrait, but I also have a like long story with that work. because, you know, it's easy to deal with myself.
Yeah.
Because not so many people want to
be nude and
near the Putin here.
So because this is Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And where's is this a reference to? Is this like a sculpture from the Library of Art History?
Yeah, it's called Judith. It's an old myth. A woman. Cut the head off of dictators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like a from when is the original sculpture?
Yeah, Judith. Yeah, it's like myth, some kind of myth.
Okay.
In, And this work symbolizes, you know, in statistics, so many, like, women in war-torn country, in it's like some weak, you know, weaknesses.
Of course, yeah, they raped, it's like war crime.
Yeah, children, women. But of course, we have a lot of women warriors who, in the Ukrainian army.
Yeah.
And this work, it's like a revenge.
Yeah, and the conqueror, the victory over...
Over Putin. This masculinity.
But the hair top and so on, that's all original or you edited?
Yeah, it's an original Ukrainian hat. Yeah. It's called Namitka. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's standing in this hat.
And but this one is... first you produce them in a 3D print of polyester or plastic, and then they're turned into porcelain.
Yeah, I have this work in a smaller dimension in porcelain.
Yeah,
like 35 centimeters.
Yeah.
And this one is 3D printed and car painted.
But can you create such a work in porcelain as well? It's too big, no?
Yeah, it's too big. And like a girl from Holodomor times, she she have 8 parts, like 2 legs, clothes, and and head. But here, you know, it's naked body, so it will be difficult because
of the shape, because of the joints, right? And the Holodomor sculpture is in the museum collection in Linz,
yes.
And it's a bit. It's about
1.20 meters.
1.20 meters. Yeah. And. And how do you process your choices in the library you use, but also in the pictures you take and create sculptures out of this? So there is this one, the Holodomor, but then there is also the wolf, the woman turned wolf. What's the backstory of that work?
Yeah, it's a story. Like, I think this work also from this. A serious mother of deers, and it's about nature. Like we have this myth when in past animals save humans, like Roman Empire, and a question of this work: if humans will save our planet Earth, animals in future, and also behind this work works. Ecocide in Ukraine, because not only humans suffer from war, also animals, nature. So, Mother of Deers was born after big water in Kherson, when Russians blew the dam.
In 2 years ago, yeah.
And a lot of animals just die because of water and... it's like big changes in the ecosystem. This work about that.
And what did you, like, how was the original reference and what did you change to it?
What do you mean, original reference?
So because often you use elements from the Soviet, as you mentioned, the boy with a gun, before you turned, you replaced the butterfly with a gun. What is the... alteration you did to this work, or you completely
it's a completely new work maybe deers a bit remind us
but not even the deers you took from a work, that's completely invented. So you sort of also mix and blur between tradition and new invention.
It's always some kind of balance. But this work was also made in Kyiv porcelain factory, so I continue this old porcelain tradition.
But they did a new mold. Works. You use an old mold?
No.
And the wolf also completely new.
Yeah, it's completely new.
Okay. So you mix, and here it's also completely new.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Putin head is 3D animated.
What do you mean anymore?
The head you created from an image.
Yeah. It's pretty.
And the work here. What's the reference to this?
Yeah, it's a work from 2015, and I have son 9 years old, and he was born in 2014 when invasion of Ukraine was started, occupation of Crimea and Donetsk, and I feel this pressure and non-stable situation in country, and when you have a child, it's like I had different emotions.
Yeah.
And this work a bit prophetic because it's like the last human mother and baby, it's like just after apocalypse, and they just both survived. And she, like animal, grab a child and try to save him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a flashback on this work when in 2022 full-scale invasion started.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through Bulgarian border with my son alone. And it was a prophetic work.
Mm-hmm. And how did you create it?
Yeah, it's before my 3D era.
Mm-hmm.
I work with Illustrator, and it's totally vector image.
Yeah.
And on the ground, you can see a Henri Rousseau painting.
By Rousseau? But,
But I recreated in a vector dimension. Uh-huh. It's like every leaf and... Yeah, I made this work 5 months.
Yeah. So again, working with tradition, beauty and terror, combining it in a new work. And how, so you take a lot of inspiration from traumatic impressions you have in your daily routine. Like there's this other sculpture of a girl who lost her legs. I think there's a lot of people who have amputation and need prosthetics, and you have constant alarm, right? Like sirens. And how is it to keep on, I don't know, see the positive side of things?
Of course, I see a positive side because I prefer to stay in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And my life, I feel alive only in Ukraine. And, even with war, you have your daily routine and,
Yeah, but I think it's interesting. You did these amazing works you did this residency in Gmunden. And created big porcelain sculptures of, typical housing blocks.
Yeah,
which are like ovens, which you can fire, and they're called fire, right? And these are houses which are under fire, which have been attacked by missiles and burned. And so you take, almost like you see like the beauty. I remember Stockhausen, he commented on the 11th September. Today is the 11th September.
Hmm.
He commented on and was heavily criticized. He commented on the attack of the Twin Towers as something aesthetically. I can't really remember. But so you see the...
Yeah, in this work, historical dimension met. It's like a past, because fireplaces, it's like from past. Then social dream, because it's like Blockhaus in Berlin, also a lot of
like utopian, like that. Utopian,
yeah, like social dream, and then reality, war reality, and it's I choose these houses because they the most dangerous during the war because they made with blocks, and when the missile hit the kind of buildings, it's like a cart house, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just collapse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and also it's regarding to my grandmother. She lived in Kharkiv in such kind of buildings. And yeah, I remember my childhood. I spent with her. And yeah, in Kharkiv, this kind of buildings like suffer every day. And it's like, scary.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, that these bricks here, these are the bricks from the houses which were bombed in Second World War. Mm-hmm. And then the architect collected them and resurrected the church based on these bricks which are from the Second World War. So it was this idea of transformation, but also creating hope, you know, from the destruction and create, I don't know, future.
And about fireplaces, it's also interesting fact. When a building was bombed, only fireplaces, when you looked at Second World War photos, they survived, no fireplaces, because they were inside,
standing. Yeah. And when the war's over, which hopefully will be soon, where's the inspiration coming from?
Oh, I think we have a lot of years to understand everything what happened, you know.
Yeah.
And like my friend told me, for what is this everything? For what? Like everyone must write the book or what?
Yeah. And this work over here, that's also from an earlier period, right?
Not so early. It's like, I don't remember. 2019 seems, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a robot draw, yeah, and it's made by robot.
But how did you do that? You had a robot draw it? How is that possible?
Yeah, it's like some construction, and you have file, like vector file,
yeah,
like in this work, and I send this file to robot, and he start to drawing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what's the background? Like what brought you to it?
It's like more intimate work, like height. It's called height. You mm-hmm. know, like. It's not possible to hide somewhere from this reality.
But originally you started painting, but obviously you want to have a distance between your practice, because in all these works there's always an intermediate,
yeah,
right? You have a mold, you have a vector graphic, you have a printer, you have... So you try to distance yourself from the actual...
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was harmful education or something like that. Yeah, and
like
I
you take the reroute through a robot to make a drawing.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
It's like you put a distance between you and the creation.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's some psychic point.
and then you also created these bullets. But then they're different ones. You broke them and then you fix them. So to have a beauty in it, maybe you can elaborate on this too a little bit.
Yeah, I collaborate with Kintsugi Master in Ukraine. And I have a lot of broken sculptures, like from Soviet times, like sport girl, yeah. And my friend broke these bullets, and I like not perfect things, you know. Mm-hmm. I know for people who buy art, it's big problems, but like in the ceramic, in porcelain, it's often happened during the baking process. And I have my own collection of broken things. Yeah, and sometimes I send to this master to fix them. Yeah, and I like idea to fix old Soviet porcelain figures.
Mm-hmm. And when did the Soviet porcelain came through your grandmother's, or how did it came to your sort of horizon?
I like to visit some flea markets, and mm-hmm. in Ukraine usually flea markets consist of small figures.
But is it still a part of contemporary propaganda?
You mean the old Soviet?
No, recent one. You know that, like they it's not a. It's not new mm-hmm. developments. You know that they did busts of Stalin. Is there a bust of Putin, for example? You think?
It's now a big point in Ukraine with the decommunization.
Yeah.
And a lot of monuments demolished.
Get taken off.
From Soviet past. For artists it's a bit painful, because artists see more wealth than ordinary people, and it's also our history. So you just can demolish everything, and
I remember that the bear plays a big role. What's the context of the bear? Because in I don't know if it's Russian or Soviet art history, the bear is a repeating motif.
You mean my post on Instagram?
Not necessarily related to you, but in art, in the Russian art history, the bear. A lot of people have a picture of the bear in their living room, no?
I don't know. Bear. It's
Bear.
Yeah, it's like a symbol of Russian culture, but I'm not sure it's like that, you know.
But is it how to distinguish the difference between the Russian culture mm-hmm. and because it used to be the USSR, mm-hmm. and where are the lines? Where are the lines drawn?
Russian culture appropriates so many Ukrainian famous artists like Kazimir Malevich. He was born in Kiev. Also, Tatlin, he was born in Kharkiv. Sonia Delaunay, she was born in Odessa.
Yeah.
And so many. And the pity thing, they execute them, finally. No, Russians, they appropriate and they kill them. In Ukrainian culture, we have a term of executed Renaissance.
Uh-huh.
It's a... poets, artists, Ukrainian language poets, and Ukrainian artists who was continue Ukrainian traditional in art, they just was execute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's and my institute, it called Mikhailo Boychuk, mm-hmm. and Mikhailo Boychuk was executed by Soviet. Yeah. And all his school.
Uh-huh, okay.
So why we don't have so many artists? Because...
they were killed.
Yeah, they were killed, and other was appropriated by Russia. So.
And how do you feel about sort of that maybe ignorance or uneducation from the Western world to this?
Mm-hmm. You mean that people not understand it?
Yeah, I have the feeling that there's not so much knowledge or, disinformation or appreciation or...
why I see my mission to spread this information. And in Ukraine we have a lot of media who told that through on English language. So you can easily follow and read about. But of course, it's difficult because you need to learn history and so on. People don't have time. They have only Instagram and many years and if I remember myself in early years of my study, mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. So
yeah. And what's your current project? What do you envision right now to work on?
I'm working now on two memorials in mm-hmm. Kyiv. One dedicated to Ukrainian fighter Da Vinci.
Mm-hmm. Da Vinci.
Yeah, Da Vinci Wolves. We have battalion uh-huh. Like fighters, and they
named got, after Da Vinci.
Yeah, Da Vinci Wolves, okay. Because. Dmytro Kotsubaylo, he was artist, uh-huh. But when invasion started, he go to fight, yeah. And had like military name Da Vinci.
Yeah,
yeah. And it will be some square, small park, and I work on sculpture of wolf.
Mm-hmm.
It will be in bronze.
Okay.
And also I work in of memorial to energetics.
Mm-hmm.
Because Russian bombed our electricity infrastructure, yeah. Like almost every day. And a lot of workers, electrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. They died already because Russian bombed and people died, and it will be memorial with isolators.
How to imagine that? Isolators?
Yeah, ceramic isolators.
Oh, like the round ones, yeah. from the fuse.
Yeah, they is big isolators, and I imagine like big columns.
Ah, like formal.
Yeah, like forest, okay. Of isolators.
And one for each victim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's also close to me because it's ceramic.
Yeah. You know? True. Original. Yeah. Like they use ceramic fuses. Yeah.
And I'm also interested in. How ceramic and porcelain use in not artistic way.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hope it will be happen.
Yeah.
We will finish.
Great.
This work.
And what's your concept for the exhibition here?
Now I work in the Kyiv Porcelain Factory on new porcelain sculptures
mm-hmm.
for upcoming exhibition in April. And I think it will be more intimate artworks,
mm-hmm.
like about also about women during the war,
mm-hmm.
and different states of mental states. Yeah,
I think that they especially the small works work extremely well because they sort of nonchalant, discreetly unfold an energy, you know, with because they are these, like, I remember also my grandmother, she had mm-hmm. all these small elephants standing somewhere. But then they, you know, like, they appear trivial, but then they unfold an aura and energy, which is very unique. Yes. So, very much looking forward to what there is to come. And, thank you so much for...
Thank you, Jochen.
...having the conversation and... talking and sharing your thoughts.
Happy to be here.
Super. Thank you.